lesson is a continuation from last Sunday evening when we looked at the story of Jonah. In fact, we read all four chapters of the book of Jonah, but last week's lesson just looked at the demonstration of God's power and God's concern for His creation. We noted last week's lesson God's omnipresence, meaning everywhere present, His power over the elements, over the wind and the sea, God's power over the animals. God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. God spoke to the fish. The fish vomited Jonah up on dry land. And then God prepared a worm. Then we noted God's power over the preaching of His word, so that the people of Nineveh believed God and repented. Then God's power over the plants. God prepared a plant and made it to come up over Jonah for shade. We also noted in last week's lesson that God was angry and displeased with wickedness, that God can hear our prayers no matter where we are, even from the belly of a prepared fish, and that God cares about His creation. He said, "Should I not pity Nineveh? And then they have much livestock there." So there was a lesson just on God's power in the book of Jonah. But in this lesson, we're going to note a picture of a man running from God. And we can kind of put ourselves in the place of Jonah, when Jonah should have been running for God. So just as for definition, so we're on the, kind of the same thought process concerning the title of the lesson, Flight from Duty. When you think of flight from, and you're very familiar with these phrases, that means you are departing, may even abandon something, or you're just making an exit. You are flight from. You're walking away or leaving. With AWOL, you are absent without leave. You didn't get permission for that flight from duty or dereliction. When you think of duty, it's a work or a task or an obligation, a given assignment, a chore, a project, a job. We recognize the definition of those two words. Someone said, life is not pleasure nor popularity, it's purpose. That's what life is, purpose. Well, that's the story of Jonah. So in the review, since we read the story last week, I'm going to reread so many of the verses. But just in review, we note from point number one, Jonah's duty was clear. Then when God speaks, duty begins. Wow. God, as a creator, has a right to make demands on His creation, as the potter has power over the clay. But God has power over us by right of recreation. If He's blessed us with the ability to be born again into His family, He has that right to make demands on us by right of creation and recreation. The potter has power over the clay. God's command to Jonah could not have been misunderstood. This couldn't. Chapter 1, verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry out against it. Very specific, very clear duty. So second, when you think about Jonah's duty, and we'll make our comparison in a moment, it was disagreeable, just like maybe the commands God gives us, we think, oh, I don't like that command. That one just doesn't suit my taste, doesn't fit my personality. But Jonah's duty was disagreeable with him. And I wish I knew the motivation for Jonah not wanting to go preach to Nineveh, not given. But perhaps, and maybe we use the same reasoning, but I read the story and kind of read between the lines. I think maybe Jonah's thinking to himself, oh, preach to Nineveh? God, do you know how far away that is? That's a great distance. It's far to the northeast. I think Jonah went farther trying to get out of Obama's command. That far city of Tarsus. If he had just put the same effort in obeying God's command, might have been a different outcome. Maybe Jonah had a personal peeve or a personal persuasion. You know, the Assyrians were the enemies of Israel. They were and foreigners. Maybe Jonah thought to himself, "I'm not going to participate in this because I really know I don't. I never did like those people. I don't want to go to them." Wow. But whatever the reason, the duty was disagreeable. Third, Jonah's duty was evaded. He tried to get out of it. Keep away from it. He tried to escape the duty. Look at Tarshish. That's the farthest west of where he was. It's at the opposite end of the Mediterranean Sea. So, wow. And it's interesting, too, when you look at that. When God gave Jonah the duty, the obligation, the circumstances to avoid it were conducive. Wow. Joppa was close by to where he was. Now, I can get out of this, but the city's right here close. Found a ship. Oh, there's a ship in harbor. Oh, and the ship has room for a passenger? Oh. I have money for a ticket. Look, everything fell in place for the opportunity for him to run away. But he evaded the duty. So now let's take a look at us. The Christian and his duty. So you can kind of think as the opening of the book of Jonah began, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Well, the word of the Lord came to Brian. You put your name in it. Make it personal. So number one, Christian life is a life of duty, service, and stewardship. Here's the verse that Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 10. Did he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you've done all those things which you are commanded, you say, we're unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. You know, you don't expect the extra. Our life is a life of duty, service, ministry. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 begins, Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required as stewards that a man be found faithful. So our obligation, the word of the Lord came to Brian. Be faithful in your duty. Be faithful. Revelation 2, verse 10 says, be thou faithful till death. And I'll give you a crown of life. We can't do more than what we are capable of. I can't do your work and you can't do mine. But whatever duty that I've been assigned, I need to be sure that I'm faithful in it as a steward. That's number one when it comes to duty. Second, when I think about commands that God gives us, I think it's great, love one another. Jesus said in John 13, beginning of verse 34, a new commandment, wait a minute, commandment, I give to you, meaning me. Put your name in there. New commandment I give to you, you'll fill in the blank with your name. That you love one another as I've loved you. And he said it again. So that you also love one another, and by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Three times commanded here. Love one another. In 1 John 4, verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, wow, loved us. Remember that description of us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, while we were yet sinners. Christ died. God commended his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. God so loved us, we ought to love one another. In verse 21 of the same chapter, 1 John chapter 4, and this commandment, the word of the Lord came to Brian. And he who loves God must love his brother also. Oh, man. I'm thinking of all the motivations that come to me so that I don't have to obey that. Just like Jonah. I want to flight from duty. I don't know that brother very well. You know, whatever reason you can use for not loving one another. You know how strange they are. You've seen some of our brethren. They wronged me in the past. Wow. So love one another. What motivation you may have, like say, to evade the task. I don't know what it would be, but it's certainly going to be there. And I know I can't be best friends with all of you. I don't have that much time in the day. Why? But I will love you on a need-to-love basis. You know, if the need arises, you can call me. Call me, that's right. So love one another. Well, there's a commandment. Word of the Lord came to me. Love one another. Number three is worship. John 4, verse 24, God is spirit. And those, meaning me, who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Now don't stop after the word, stop after the word worship for a moment. Because most people carry it on through and they talk about in spirit and in truth. But wait a minute, it says must worship. And then it tells us how to worship, but wait a minute, must worship. The word of the Lord came to Brian, you must worship. Can't get out of it. Well, I'm trying to evade it. I may want to get out of it, have a flight from duty. In Hebrews 10, verse 23, begins, let's hold fast the confession of our hope. Let's hold it fast without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let's consider one another. Oh, no. Can I run from that? Sometimes I think I'd like to. I want to take flight. Love, you know, consider one another in order to stir up to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Can I get out of that? The word of the Lord came to Brian. I must worship. I must worship. Exhort one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Wow. I know some people say, oh, I do the assembly next time. Well, I feel a little weary. I'm not going. Big game on television. No. I'll record it. Company came to visit. You fill in the blank. The motivation to escape duty will be there. And typically the temptations will make it easy to flee the duty. Just like Jonah. Oh, Joppa's close by. Oh, that means there's a ship in port. And it's going to a far city. And I have money. Everything falls into place. When you want to escape duty. Number four was spiritual growth. 1 John 3, 17. You therefore, beloved, meaning me. Where the Lord came to me, beloved. Since you know this beforehand, I know. You know this beforehand. Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Oh, I gotta grow. Gotta study. Find out more about the Bible message. Is there, wait, can I flee from that duty? Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Paul tells Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. Study. Can I evade that? Can I run from it? Can I move to another city? Attend a different congregation. Maybe they won't require study over there. I'm too busy, we sometimes say. You put in the motivation for not doing the command. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord comes to us. The last one, I put benevolence. Biblical principle is there. We just need to do it. Galatians 6, verse 9. Let's not grow weary while doing good. Oh, I'm tired of, we might think this, I want to flee this duty. You know, because I'm tired of helping brethren. Whatever motivation you're going to put in there to flee the duty. He says, be not weary in doing good. Now, you can get tired from doing good. You have to take a rest break. But don't get tired of doing good. Same way in your workplace. Yeah, we have rest breaks, and we have lunch, then we go home for the evening. Many typical jobs, you'll 5 days a week, then we get a weekend. And then we schedule a vacation. And then there's holidays. Oh, yeah, we get tired from our work and we have rest breaks scheduled in. But don't get tired of working. Be not weary in well-doing. See? Word of the Lord came to Brian. No, Brian, don't get weary. We're in due season, we shall reap. We do not lose heart. So therefore, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. The conclusions I put in your notes, just three of them regarding duty. So same thing with Jonah. Duty's inescapable. Once God's put us under duty, no escape. Number two, duty's non-transferable. I need to do what I can do. I can't obey the gospel for you or on your behalf. It's personal. Can't serve God by proxy, having someone else stand in your stead. So duty's non-transferable. Duty is revealing with three things. Reveals our love. First of all, we love self or love Christ. We have a duty. It's there. Lord came to Brian. It's going to reveal my love. Whether I love God more than the big game that's coming up, you know, or the company coming in, why don't I just invite them with me? It's only in our worship assembly on Sunday morning. But we'll find the motivation. But duty is going to reveal my love, whether I have love for the world or for the church. Look, duty is revealing. Reveals character. Reveals whether I'm weak or strong. It's in the faith. It's when we get under pressure that we really see what we're made of sometimes. Reveals our destiny. Our duty does. Heaven or hell. It's interesting, I'll kind of close with this thought. Flight from, it's in the text, in the book of Jonah, flight from duty is always a downward path. Jonah 1 verse 3, it's interesting, even though it's geographically correct, he went down to Joppa. In verse 3, he found a ship and went down into it. Running away from God is always a downward path. Down, down, down. He went down into the sea. He went down into the valley. The great fish. Down. Flight from duty is always a downward path. So that's the lesson. Jonah, an example. What not to do. Flight from duty. Alright. Remember, next week, Sunday evening, Luke Heslip will be with us. He will have been with us for several weeks during the summer. But he's going to be a senior in high school, and he's going to make a presentation on one of his school's journey down to El Salvador. I still didn't remember. I just wanted to say Venezuela. So next week, next Sunday evening, he's going to present us, I think, a slide presentation. It's not slides anymore. But he does have pictures. On a presentation today. So that's next Sunday evening, Lord willing. All right, so at the close of a lesson, we always extend an invitation for you to become a Christian. We mentioned our lesson this morning, a member of the New Testament Church, by obeying the gospel command. You know, we give the numbers, we say there's five steps or ingredients in this recipe or the formula. I want you to hear the word of God. How can you believe in something you haven't heard? Romans chapter 10. Then believe it. Jesus said in John 8:24, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sin. You'll need to repent because Jesus said it. Luke 30, verse 3, except you repent or you'll perish. And then confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Philip preaches the Ethiopian, preaches Jesus to him. And he says, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And so if you believe, you may. And he makes a confession. Well, he says, believe. I believe. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And Philip stopped the chariot. They went down in the water and was baptized. So that simple plan or that formula or those steps we outline at the close of each lesson as a reminder. So you're subject to that invitation. command of God reaches your heart and you want to obey it, don't run. Don't run away from God. Run to God. So that's the invitation. So Dennis, let's stand and sing, and Dennis will lead us in the...